You know, when it comes to making bad decisions, we are always convicted, or we're always pushed to do it on the spot. We don't say, okay, yes, there's this nice shot of whiskey in front of me or whatever, but I'm not going to do it today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. A lot of us don't say that. We just make choices. But when it comes to good choices, like doing something that Jesus commands us to do, we lots of times wait. And we wait too long, thinking that I can make that choice another day. But listen, Bible says this, that you cannot decide when you save yourself. You can only respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit that is calling you to salvation. And our vision here at New Life Church is bring many people in our city who are far from God, who walked away from God, who drifted away from God, bring them closer to Jesus. We want, because you know why? I know He changed my life. If you knew my personality, and I have a hard personality, thank God I'm married to a mild woman, you know, who can, because if she was like me, we would have bruises coming to church with these blue eyes and everything. Thank God. I got blessed. Some of you, you have that kind of a spouse where both of you are hot, red on fire. Man, I'm lucky. Amen. So, today we're going to talk about making a choice for Jesus, making a simple choice for Jesus. Now, there's two points that I want to make today. Number one, the point that I want to make, I have decided. I have made a choice. And second one is I'm ashamed. And today, people are going to stand between two of those different subjects. One, I have decided to follow Jesus. Number two is I'm ashamed of Jesus. Now, do you know that most decisions in life are not made with a lot of thinking? Sometimes the best decisions in life are so simple and are made on the spot. Let's talk about Moses. Moses was a murderer. He ran away. He was a prince of Egypt, then he murdered an Egyptian, and then he ran away, and he decided to, because they were going to put him in jail and kill him. And so he ends up being a shepherd for his father-in-law, because he married a woman, and that's all he could do. He was a shepherd boy. And one day, as he was watching the sheep, he went on a mountain, and he saw a burning bush. And God says, I want you to be the deliverer of Israel. And you know what? The thing about Moses that he stuttered. Moses was not a great speaker, although he's one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. He's the one who saw God face to face, Bible says. Nobody else has. And so God says, Moses, I know you can't speak, but I want you to make a choice to just trust me and obey me. I know I'm not going to reveal the whole plan for you. I'm not going to tell you exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. Because that's the thing about trusting God. You don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow. But he says, if you trust me, I will lead you and the people of Israel, which is over a million people, to the promised land. And he's so the thing is, will you follow me, Moses? And Moses made few excuses, just like some of you will make today. He said, you know, I can't speak. You know, they're going to kill me. They still remember who I am up there. I was raised by an Egyptians. How is Israelites going to listen to me? But he made a simple choice and he said, God, I don't understand everything. I don't know everything, but I'm going to choose to follow you. There's another man in the Bible. He's a young man like many of you. He was 15 years old, David. David lived in Israel. And little David was a shepherd as well. God loves shepherds for some reason. All right, he was a shepherd as well, and he was the youngest one. He was the forgotten one. The Bible hints that he could have been out of illegitimate marriage. Bible hints on that he could have been because the seven brothers that he had was respected and was called upon in the meetings of the family, but he was never called. He was ended up being with the sheep, this 15-year-old boy, and one day there was war between Israel and Philistines. And David and his, the David's brothers, older brothers, went to war. And because the battle lines were drawn and the war didn't happen for a few months, the father of Jesse says to David, David, could you go and visit your brothers at battlefield and find out if they are okay? And David could have said, what are you kidding, Dad? I'm afraid. I don't want to go there. There's war. There's spies roaming around. What if I get killed? But David doesn't say that. He just obeys his father. He makes a simple choice. Simple choice that will turn his life forever. You know, a lot of us think it's a big decision that's going to change your life. No, it's that simple, small decision. David goes and obeys his father, goes to the battlefield. In the battlefield, he hears Goliath curse the armies of Israel. He's cursing the God of Israel. And he says, how dare? And nobody would fight him. And nobody would fight Goliath. And David says, how dare? 15-year-old boy. Who's 15 here? All right, David, stand up. There, we got David over here. Look at this. I mean, a little guy. How can you go? And who's tall here? Alvin, would you play a Goliath and stand up, please? Bob is not here. He's security in the back. So imagine David, Goliath, and Goliath was huge, taller than him, and David was about like that. Thank you, guys. All right. And so David hears this big giant cursing the name of God and cursing the armies of Israel. And he says, "Who will fight me? Come on." And David says, "What? Nobody's going to fight you? I will." A little boy named David, like David, said, "I will." But see, it all started when he obeyed his father and decided to go and visit his brothers. See, a lot of things in life is not a big decision. It's a small decision. Follow. Obey. It's a little choice. It's never huge. It's never big. Jesus, when he started his ministry, he came to a guy named Peter and he said, "Peter, follow me." And he just walked away. And you know what? Thank God that Peter did. And his name today, Jesus transformed his life to the point where Peter was crucified for Jesus. He was a martyr for Jesus. And instead of being crucified just like Jesus, because they were going to crucify him just like Jesus, history and tradition tells us that Peter said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior." So he said, "Put me upside down and hang me." How do you get courage like that? It didn't start like that in the beginning. If you know anything about Peter, he was a chicken. Always a chicken, always running, always blabbering his mouth, denied Jesus 3 times. I mean, that's not how he started. And Jesus doesn't start with us about making a huge decision. He doesn't tell you, "Move to Africa, move to China, I'm going to use you." No, he doesn't say that. He says, "Would you make a simple, small step? If you believe in me, would you follow me and be baptized?" When Jesus was 33 years old, he was blessed and baptized when he was little. When he was 8 days old, he came and was blessed, because that's kind of the baptism they did. And they circumcised him. We don't do that today. We won't do that. Just the baptism today. All right. And some of you don't get it, but that's okay. Just don't think about it. I'm going. And so there was another guy. There's another guy in the Bible who Jesus called, and he says, he came up with an excuse. You remember that disciple who Jesus says, "Follow me," and he says, "Let me go first bury my parents. Then I'll go and follow you." And so a lot of you have not been baptized. You're already a believer, but you have not been baptized because you're coming up with some kind of excuse. "Let me just do this first. Let me get my life in order first before I can be baptized." But let me tell you something. You can never get your life in order, so forget about it. And besides, Jesus doesn't want perfect people, because there isn't any. You can never get your life in order enough to be baptized, ever. Because the enemy of the soul will always condemn you, will always put you down. Jesus is not looking for perfect people. He's coming to chickens like Peter. He's coming to like James and John, who were the loudmouth brothers. And he says, "Come follow me." And people make excuses. He says, "Don't worry about it. Leave it alone. Just come follow me." So today, Some of you have not been baptized because you've had excuses. But you know what? When you stand in front of Jesus on a day of judgment, He won't care about your excuses. He will say, did you believe and were you baptized? You know, a lot of people in our church services raise their hand to be saved. And we turn off the lights and we say, everybody close your eyes so nobody would see you. That's only half of the whole truth. Raising your hand to say, I believe on Jesus is half. But you know what? There's always action behind our faith. Faith without action is dead. So if you just raised your hand today and you, for some reason, is afraid to be baptized, I don't know if your faith is complete. I'm not going to say it's not real, but I'm not sure if it's complete. And so Peter follows Jesus, but how many people denied him and say, I can't follow you. I got a business. Elijah comes to Elisha in the Old Testament, and Elisha was a businessman. He had 12 pairs of oxen. His business was to go into the fields of different people and till their fields. There was no tractor. So in our modern day, it would be equivalent to having 12 John Deere's, big, you know, aerators and tractors that pull behind a big rake and till the ground and stuff like that. I don't know what those things called. I'm not a farmer. But that's what Elisha had. And when Elijah came to him, he says, listen, follow me. That's all he did. And Elijah says, hold on. Let me burn my plows. Let me kill the oxen and give the meat to the people. I will follow you. And that changed his life forever. That was a big decision. But most decisions in the Bible were small little choices. And I want you to make that little choice today and be baptized. Amen. There's going to be people today who will decide on the spot that they will say, I'm done thinking about it. I'm done talking about it. I'm going to do it today. Well, one of the excuses that people make, and I'm going to slow down, and I'm going to show you something. One of the excuses people make is they say, well, it's just my luck. I'm not going to be baptized today because I didn't bring any extra clothes with me. Well, let me tell you this. John the Baptist says he has prepared a way for Jesus. Let me tell you what I say. We have prepared a way for you. Elvin, come help me out over here. All right, come help me out. We have thought of some things that you might need. Come stand over here with me for baptism. All right, some of you are like, I don't have anything to wear. All right, so guess what we did? We purchased brand new dark shorts. Okay, now we also got some undergarments, not just for men. But we got for women. We got sports bras. We got everything you need. We got gel if you need it. We got hairspray if you need it. We got what are these called? Ponytail. We have makeup remover if you need it. Okay, we're not gonna throw this. We have a dark heavy duty type t-shirts that are, you can't see through. So we have prepared, everything you will need. Alvin said to me today that he's tired just living halfway. He says, I just want to fully jump in and do this thing with Jesus. I can't be halfway. And so today he has decided to be baptized first. Give him a hand. Thank you. And you know what? We have enough clothes for everybody who wants to be baptized. So there's no excuse to say, well, you know, I can't be baptized today because I don't have any clothes. Another excuse people make is they say, well, I was baptized when I was a baby. And most of us were baptized when we were babies. But how many of you know that Sometimes people get baptized as babies, but when they grow up and become teenagers, they become atheists. They turn away from Jesus. So let me ask you, does that baptism enough to save them and carry them through life? No. Why did our parents baptize us when we were babies? Because they wanted us to serve Jesus. So when we grow up, we would make a choice. It would be easier for us to make a choice to say, I'm going to make a decision to follow Jesus on my own. I'm not going to choose to be an atheist. I'm not going to be a Satan worshiper. I'm not going to be agnostic. I'm not going to be a commie or something like that. I'm going to follow Jesus. So when you say, I was baptized already, and maybe if I baptize again, then when I was a baby, when I baptized again, I will dishonor my parents. No, nothing. You cannot be farther from the truth. Your parents baptize you hoping that when you grow up, you would make your own choice about following Jesus. All of us pretty much were baptized, especially in America. Everybody was baptized as a baby, blessed as a baby. And that's a good thing, because we wanted to commit our children until they grow up. But when they grew up, it's their choice, it's their decision to follow Jesus. Next one. Some people say, well, I'm not sure if I want to be a member of New Life. If I get baptized, does that mean I'm a member of New Life? No, not necessarily. We would hope that you would be a member of New Life, but you're not being baptized into New Life. You're being baptized into Jesus Christ. You're not being baptized into our denomination, which we probably don't have one, but we're just Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. That's all we are. All right? You're not being baptized into that. You are being baptized into Jesus. There's over 27 passages in the New Testament of people were baptized. And you know what? This thing where we get prepared, we think about, only came about 100 years ago where we started doing it. You know, going through the class, coming to the front, then waiting a little bit, then being baptized. And, you know, before you get baptized, you sin so much, you feel guilty, so you never get baptized and you leave God. That just happened recently, in the last 100 or so years. But in the first church, Bible says, when 3,000 people believed, the same day they were baptized. The same day. I want to read you a story before I'm going to ask you to make a choice, a simple choice to be baptized. I want to read from Acts chapter 8, I believe. Acts chapter 8. And this is a story about an Ethiopian official. Let me read it to you. Now the angel of the Lord, 8:26. Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, who was an evangelist, and he says to him, arise, go towards south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Damascus in the desert. So Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Queen Candace of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasury. So he was a big dude. He was a man of authority. And he came to Jerusalem, and he was riding on his chariot. He was in Jerusalem, and he was going, and he was reading scripture from Isaiah, verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah and said to him, do you know what you're reading? Can you play the chariot? There goes our chariot. All right, you go forward reading your Bible and I'm, hey, you know what you're reading, buddy? How you doing? Stop. All right, so he stops. Stay over here, face forward if you want to. And he says to him, how can I know unless someone guides me? So he's reading Isaiah from the Bible. He doesn't understand anything. And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. Ask me to come sit. I'm just kidding. So the Ethiopian eunuch says, come sit with me. In the place of scripture, verse 32, where, which he was reading, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. Talking about Jesus dying on a cross. Talking about going on a cross silently. Didn't curse anybody. Didn't yell. Didn't say, I'm innocent. Just walked. Talking about Jesus. This was written about 700, 800 years ago, before Christ even came to be alive, was born. And his humiliation was justice. And he just keeps reading to him. Verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and asked, I ask you, of whom does this prophet says this? Of himself or of another man? Is he talking about himself? Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preaching Jesus to him. Okay, so Philip starts talking about Jesus and preaching the gospel to him and explaining from the beginning to the end of how it all happened. And now, as they kept riding down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? We got water over here. It's all ready. Oh, we actually got this. You might want to keep it away from water. So ladies, if you think, you know, if you need this, the hair dryer, we got that for you as well. So he came to the water and he says, there's water. What's stopping me? What's hindering? And Philip says, if you believe in Jesus with all your heart, then nothing. Let's get you baptized right now. And in those days, Philip didn't prepare clothes for the eunuch to change in. We did. You know, when Jesus was baptized, there was no clothes. He just came, was baptized, came out, and kept walking. You know that there's people who Holy Spirit touched so much, we didn't even have extra clothes. They were baptized the way they were. Because they didn't care. Who cares about wet clothes? I mean, even if we didn't have clothes for you to change, which we do, you could be baptized today with just the way you came here. And if you are scared about sharks or piranhas being in there, one of our brave volunteers will put this on and jump in and check if there's any sharks there. No, I'm just kidding. I said I'll hold Jill a little bit longer underwater. And because she needs it, and no, I'm kidding. So if you think you're a big sinner, you can take the tube, and I'll hold you there for a little bit. You can stay, get washed a little better. It's a joke. Some of you will come up excuse or a thought that, well, my family is not here. What am I going to do? I want my family to see me be baptized. Well, this is a family. New Life Church is a family already. We got a video, and we also have a professional photographer here today who will take your photos so you can put it on your wall and say, baptized whatever day. See, you might never be here again, and we hope you come again. But some will say, I want my parents. I want to ask my parents' permission. That's good. You should ask your parents' permission if you think they're going to be against that. But parents, I would encourage you to honor the work that Jesus is doing in your children's lives. So if your child says, yes, I want to do it, I would say you should encourage them. You should walk with them and lead them to be baptized. Because we don't choose these days. They were chosen for us before the foundation of the world. Amen? Well, I don't know if I want to be a member. Well, listen, we don't know if we want you to be a member here either. We're in the same page. You know? So it's not about membership. It's not about clothes you don't have to wear. It's not about whatever excuse you can come up with. Well, I was coming to church and I said a cuss word today. Well, it's not about you being perfect. You might say one more after you were baptized. I remember when I was baptized, and I knew I was going to be baptized. On Friday, before Saturday, my baptism, I suddenly had a temptation come in my life. This girls usually never chased me, Lavar. You know, I'm just saying, they never chased me. And here on Friday night, before baptism, suddenly they start chasing me. And I'm like, what? So I'm not saying you shouldn't wait till tomorrow, because you never know what the devil will try to come and take you out. In July, we were in Okoboji at the camp, and few people, and God was moving at the youth camp at Okoboji, and God was moving so much, and people were coming and saying, I want to be baptized, and Holy Spirit was nudging me and saying, listen, you need to baptize him here. It's at the lake. It doesn't matter. Just do it now. And I was like, no. We do it at church. We usually prepare, and we go through a class, and some of those people are not here today anymore. I don't see him here today who said, I wanted to be baptized. And Holy Spirit says, don't wait. Don't wait to make a decision to follow Jesus. When Holy Spirit is knocking at your door today, do it today. He is here today. He's asking you to make a choice and follow him. It's not just a ask, it's a commandment. Let me read to you from Mark 16:16. This should be our church's scripture that we should be like our motto or our vision of our church. It says this: he who believes, this is the words that are written in red. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And so my question today to you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Let me hear it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he came to die for your sins and my sins? Amen. If you have not been baptized and you believe, I want you to raise your hand. Not yet. I'm going to tell you when. To raise your hand and be baptized today. Parents, if you need to talk to your kids, go ahead and do that. If you don't, if you trust work of God in their life, let them make that same decision. Nobody's going to be pressured here. But if you believe, Jesus says you need to be baptized. That's his words. That's not mine. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. And listen, don't wait till you're perfect. Don't wait till you're ready. Do it today. Because when you do, Bible says baptism is a symbolic act. It's you being buried in water to your old life. And coming back alive for Jesus as a new person. I'm telling you, those who will raise their hand today and will be baptized today, their life will change forever. There is going to be a new energy, new power that God will give you to follow him. Romans, and I'm going to read this scripture, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, just simple scripture. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it has the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Let me read it again. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is gospel? It's a Greek word, good news. I'm not ashamed of good news, for it has the power. See, have you ever been ashamed by anybody? I'm not even going to go into that. But have you ever hang out with a new friend and they loved you, but as soon as you were around their family, they were like, I don't know you. That feels bad. A lot of people, they love hanging out with church people on Sunday, but then when they get out, they're ashamed. And Jesus, it doesn't feel good. And Spirit of God knows that. And so he's saying for you today to not be ashamed of the gospel. To make a choice, a simple choice. I'm going to follow Jesus.